We hope everybody had an amazing perm as we did. Welcome back.
It's Kiddish Club. How was your perm? I didn't see you.
You did not see me. Yeah, it was just impossible. You know, when perm's on a Sunday, and this is why I don't like perm on Sundays, the driving situation becomes just impossible. Impossible. So I just stay home. If I could walk somewhere, I walk there. If I could Uber somewhere, I couldn't even get an Uber. It was hard. It was just impossible.
Well, that's New York perm for you.
Yeah.
Driving is not the smartest idea. But let me tell you something. This year's perm for me was amazing. But why? Right?
Aren't I supposed to ask that? And I didn't. I don't want to know.
No, here's the thing. In our mind, like, I feel like everybody has one or two perms in their life that raise the bar. And you want every single perm to be the same. And when it's not, then you feel like, oh, I had the worst perm.
Okay, this is a tremendous lead up. I'm hoping that you controlled some Jewish space lasers on this perm. Otherwise,
no, I just,
what's this lead up to?
I just didn't stress out. I just didn't care. Whatever happens today happens. It is what it is. That's why it was great. Because you know what happened? Exactly what I planned. Whatever happens, happens.
Okay. So there was nothing stand out.
No, absolutely not. If I was in the old head of how can I make this the best Purim ever, then I would probably be depressed today. Because it was uneventful. It was Purim. And I just enjoyed whatever came.
Okay. Not bad. Mine was somewhat eventful. I want to first say thank you to our listeners. It was heartwarming to see the reaction to the clip that we, as promised, posted of my perm costume, which was Elmo.
So I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of talk of that being a recording.
Yes.
And not you.
Yes.
I personally thought, and I commented to you personally. I was like, this is not you, bro.
Right. And here's a crazy story, a crazy fact. We went to a family to drop off a Shalach Manas, and it was more like a chesed type of a thing. And there were kids there, obviously. So I walked in as Elmo, and the kids are all screaming and shouting, and I did my thing, and I'm talking, whatever. And when we leave, we get in the car. I kid you not. This was the first time my wife and I were together on perm with me in the Elmo costume. She says, where'd you get that recording of Elmo? And I said, what recording? She said, the recording that you were playing inside the house. How'd you get that? And I said, that wasn't a recording. That was me. And she says, no,
it
wasn't.
How could it be that she doesn't know?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I was really in character. I was really, I was channeling Elmo.
So here I thought I was going to get a confession out of you.
No confession. Happy perm from Elmo.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm not going
to
lie.
But I mean, I said Kiddish Club in the clip to prove that it was me talking. So people still didn't believe it.
It's true.
What more was I supposed to do? Like go into the show at that point and just start doing the show as Elmo? Because I could do that.
By the way, there's people that want that. They want a video podcast now.
So that was the highlight of my perm. Elmo was the highlight.
I can't believe it's coming out now, though.
Let me tell you one thing, which was unexpected. So, before perm, I was expecting I'm going to be Elmo and I'm going to make all the kids happy. Then on perm, I noticed that kids were terrified of me as Elmo. And I learned a valuable lesson. Do you know what that lesson was?
Tell me.
It's so much more fun scaring the heck out of children than making them happy.
Interesting.
Yeah. You didn't know that, right?
Every kid I came across, no matter what they were dressed as, if it was a boy, it was like, oh, you're Haman. And like, he's a magician, poor kid. And I'm like, no, you're Haman. And then all the girls, like, you're Vashti, aren't you? Like, I'm talking about the little kids. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
One of my nieces was dressed as a bride, right?
Oh.
Like a white dress, a veil, everything. I look at her, I go, you're Vashti, aren't you? She's like, no, I'm a Kala. I'm like, no, this is Vashti. Where's your tail? It's mean.
It's but
it needs to be done.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Right? It's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing because I can never get enough.
I had this, I had one relative, and he was deathly afraid of Elmo at this point. And I'm doing the voice, and he's cringing and kicking. And I said, I got to tickle him now.
Oh,
has to be done. And at that point, even his father was like, okay, dude, this is going to be PTSD.
You're getting creepy, right.
Okay, so speaking of the Elmo costume, are we in agreement that I actually won the perm contest?
Absolutely not.
What?
I told you, you're disqualified.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. So in my opinion, so we want to thank everybody for their submissions. We did get a whole lot of costume submissions, but it's in my opinion, you're welcome to disagree. In my opinion, you don't get tremendous amount of credit or points if you go online and you buy a perm costume and you wear it. You know, like, it's not exact. So even me, talking about myself, I went online, I bought an Elmo costume. Okay. You don't get a lot of credit for that.
I hear that, but that's not really so true. Like, I saw amazing costumes this Purim. Like, some pirates that I have seen this past Purim, off the charts.
Okay.
And wait, it's one thing to buy a pirate costume, but it's another thing when there's attention to detail.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. A pirate costume is a perfect example, because they didn't just go to Amazon and type in, you know, pirate costume and order it and dress it.
Right, because no pirate costume comes with a little earring.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
And just like necklaces and bandanas and just addition. Like, this person was like working on this for a month.
Exactly.
Minimum.
Exactly.
Like, he tried this on every night from like December.
Exactly. So those people I give credit to. And in my own defense, by the way, my Elmo costume did not come with hands. So I don't know what they expected. It's the official licensed Sesame Street costume. They want you to use regular human hands when you're dressed as Elmo. How does that make any sense?
What did you use? White gloves?
I got red matching gloves. Ah. I bought separately. Yeah. So I do get a little credit on that.
Okay.
But we did pick our winners. Okay, so in first place, winning a $100 Amazon gift card.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes.
Nobody knew that.
Nobody knew that, but they did. It's Avram and Minyamin Yankelowitz.
Or is it Yankelevich?
Oh, could be. From Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to get permission to share this picture. But basically, it looks like two guys carrying a box with them inside of it. You know how people do that?
Yes, I've seen
those. So it's not totally original. We've seen that. But
right,
it looks like they did this themselves. And so I give them tremendous credit. And coming in number two, it was really a tough call. It's the Schiffmans. The Schiffman family, they did like this 80s motif. And they really are the epitome of what you're talking about. Because, again, they didn't buy these. You know, this is not anything bought as 80s costume.
Right. It's creativity.
Creativity. It was put together. It was done well. And the Schiffman family will enjoy a $50 Amazon gift card. Congratulations to our winners. So as we celebrated Purim here in the United States, so did Jews around the world, including in Israel. And a bunch of videos came out from Israel. I wanted to share some of them. I'm sure you saw the one of the reading of the Megillah in Gaza. Did you see that one?
I didn't see it. I haven't been so plugged in, which is why I'm happy we're doing this.
Okay. So, well, here's the first one.
Okay, I did not expect that.
Isn't that great?
That's great. That, I mean, what a grogger.
Love it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. And by the way, we cut it, but the shooting continues for like another minute. It's crazy.
If you want the full shooting, you can join the WhatsApp chat.
And you'll get the video too. Also, this was interesting. I lifted a bunch of these from Yeshiva World. They had some really good coverage. Here's a bunch of IDF soldiers dancing. So I didn't know the song, but it was great seeing them celebrating.
I don't either, but like, it's straight from the Megillah, and that's what Israelis do. Like, they just take a pasuk and just go with it.
Go to town.
Yeah.
Here's another one. This one coming from the Panovich Yeshiva, and tell me if you notice anything odd in this video. Here it is. Anything strange?
I know that you want me to call out that Israeli flag.
Bingo!
But Panovich has an Israeli flag
right,
in front
famous.
Of their yeshiva every Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Right, but this is Purim.
Well,
and this is inside the yeshiva during the singing and the dancing, and there's a guy wearing an Israeli flag as a cape.
Well, it is Purim. Anything goes.
Right, that's true. That's very true. So it's heartwarming to see, you know, to see everybody celebrating, and it's a, you know, a moment of unity. It's nice. It felt good.
Yes.
But then, unfortunately, we go back to the news in America and we see that the United States stabbed Israel in the back. And that was in the form of the abstention that they had in the UN vote.
Yeah, I didn't want to even like go there, but I guess that's what we do.
We have no choice. We have to go there. And okay, so just to recap, what happened was there was a vote in the UN Security Council calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, and they took out all mention of Hamas and hostages.
Oh, this is because of Ramadan, though.
Yes. But again, the Israeli policy has been there's no discussion of ceasefire without hostages, right? And so now it was started, I believe, by Algeria, and then it was endorsed by Russia and China, and it removed all mention of hostages. So it's just ceasefire for no reason. And unlike every previous Security Council resolution since the Gaza War, the United States, instead of vetoing it, abstained, and the resolution was passed. And I'm going to play you the video. It's worth seeing. I mean, it makes your blood boil, but even if you hear the way it went, it'll get you upset. Here it is.
The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favor, 0 vote against, 1 abstention. The draft resolution has been adopted as Resolution 2728-2024.
You're witnessing pure wickedness, in my opinion.
I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, and I actually got into an argument about this with someone, a WhatsApp argument. And you know those.
I know how those go.
And he was saying, well, this is really all Bibi's fault, and Biden is just doing that because of Bibi. And I'm like, come on, man. Come on. If Gantz was the prime minister right now, Israel would be doing exactly the same thing. You're telling me that Biden wouldn't have abstained? Biden was okay with selling the hostages down the river and agreeing to this resolution without any guarantee of getting hostages because he wanted to shtach Bibi? Come on.
But what does it mean?
And wait, if that's true, then he is even more fickle than Ahasuerus. Okay? There I said it. Okay. There I said it.
Okay. But here's the question I have. What does it mean practically on the ground?
So it's a good question. So technically, Israel doesn't have to follow it, right? Israel could just ignore it. The problem is when Israel ignores it, number one, it makes Israel look very bad on the world stage. Very, very bad.
I mean, can we get worse?
Yes.
Right? We can't get worse, you're saying.
And it adds a lot of fuel to those people in Congress who are anti-Israel. And now they say, well, look, Israel's not even abiding by the UN and the United States abstained, meaning tacit approval. It's pretty bad. But it wasn't all bad because obviously, you know, the second this happened, there was a whole bunch of people from the political right and the Republican Party who bashed the Biden administration, all the people you'd expect. I'll read just as an example. I'll read one. This is from Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. The UN Security Council just passed a resolution demanding Israel not defeat Hamas and to appease far-left, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas activists. Biden decided not to veto it. That was Marco Rubio. What was even more heartwarming, though, was hearing it from Democrats. And once again, it's our favorite senator.
Of course. You didn't even have to tell me. I know it's John Fetterman.
John Fetterman. You gotta respect him. It's crazy. He's a Democrat, progressive Democrat. His response was even more than Marco Rubio's. He said the following. It's appalling the U.S. allowed passage of a resolution that fails to condemn Hamas. The U.N. has always been unwilling to condemn this group of terrorists, cowards, and rapists. We must stand with Israel and stop pandering to the political fringe of Hamas apologists. Well done, John Fetterman.
Quickly becoming my favorite senator out there.
For sure. The Israeli ambassador to the U.N., Gilad Erdan, had this to say in response.
Why can this council call on Boko Haram to lay down their arms, but the same cannot be demanded of the murderers Hamas terrorists? Is the life of little baby Kfir Bibas worth less than the life of Nigerian child? Sadly, it's for the same reason why you can condemn terror attacks in Russia and Iran, but not in Israel. To this council, Israeli blood cheap. This is a travesty, and I'm disgusted. Thank you, Mr. President.
Strong words.
I love it because it's so Israeli.
Authentic, right?
Exactly. You don't have to go down the disgusted road.
But he did.
But he should have. But I'm glad that he did.
Yes. He punctuated it well with that statement.
Which to me is classic Israeli, right? You give me the cold falafel, you are disgusting. Cold shawarma? I'm disgusted.
Exactly. Exactly. It was just an authentic reaction.
You know how to say it in Hebrew?
No, I don't.
Goal nefesh.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And we have entered the Ulpan segment of Kiddush Club.
You can definitely use it.
I could. I don't say not. I welcome it. Okay, let's go into something happy, shall we? We're going to go back and forth. There's going to be ups and downs on this podcast.
Dude, we're going back and forth.
We're
going
to go back and forth. In good news, and one of our top anti-Semites on our anti-Semite list is no longer employed at their place of employment. Do you know who I'm speaking about?
It's got to be Candace.
Candace Owens! She's been fired from the Daily Wire.
A lot of people celebrating.
Yes, it's finally happened after all this time.
Yes, a lot of people very excited about it.
I mean, it didn't take that much. It took, I mean, all she had to do was like really go full-fledged blood libel and like a tweet about Jews drinking Christian blood, and that kind of pushed her over the top.
Yeah, that'll do it.
You're right. So that was good news.
Yes, and you know what? I think everyone needs to just take that good news in and move on. Like, I don't want to spend time on that victory.
Okay, I'm happy with the W. But she did say now, and I worry, she did say that she has major announcements coming, and she also has a tremendous following. She has millions of followers, and now she's going to be totally unhinged to go full anti-Semite.
I'm sure she had something lined up for her. There's always an organization that's willing to take, you know, people that...
Rejects, anti-Semitic rejects.
No, that's not what I meant.
I know.
But she's going to land on her feet, I'm sure.
100%. But at the same time, she, you know, there's not going to be a Ben Shapiro to kind of tone it down, right?
What do you mean?
I'm sure that Ben was influencing the Daily Wire and putting pressure for her to tone down the things she was saying because it was really total anti-Semitism.
You're saying now it's going to be Candace unhinged?
Yes.
I feel like while she was at Daily Wire, she was trying to get a message across but had to do it through people like Ben Shapiro.
Right.
Meaning in spite of them.
Yes.
Here, when she's unfiltered, she may tone it down herself. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I hope you're right.
I really do hope I'm right.
I hope you're right. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Right.
Okay, and now back to the bad news. So, of course, other major thing that happened was the terrorist bombing in Russia.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was, I'm sure you did.
Pretty hard to miss.
Pretty hard to miss. So, yeah, four gunmen who went into a concert hall was very, very bad. I believe over 131 people were killed. I find it laughable that Russia and China, who just helped pass this UN resolution on ceasefire against Hamas, an internationally recognized terrorist group, the way they treated these four terrorists. So they caught the terrorists responsible for the massacre. Horrible, truly horrible, heartbreaking massacre that happened in Russia.
Innocent people out to enjoy an evening.
Right.
And never came home.
Right. It was horrible, heartbreaking. But did you see what the Russian military did to the suspects?
I didn't.
Okay, well, the New York Post is reporting it. One of them, I mean, it's going to be graphic, so listener discretion is advised here. They cut off his ear and made him eat it.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah. Right? But Israel's not doing enough, and Israel has to tone it down. Another one, I cannot even say what they did to him because it will not get past our censors. But let's just say they brutally tortured these men.
Really?
Brutally tortured them. Totally state sanctioned. Nobody said boo. No one around the world said boo. Rashida Tlaib, nobody's screaming. Amnesty International, nobody's screaming that you're torturing these people. And it's totally fine because it's Russia and everyone kind of expects it. And it's cool because they were terrorists and they did horrible things. But Hamas, who killed 1,200 people, no, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You can't bomb them. You got to be careful. Even if they use civilians as human shields, you got to be careful, Israel. You're not doing enough.
But I think that concern, and just to play devil's advocate here, that concern is for civilians. Here, those are known terrorists in Russia, and they're being fed appendages, whatever.
That's dark, bro.
But those are terrorists.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So known terrorists, I think nobody has a problem.
Okay.
Treating them that way. Here, when there are civilians in harm's way, then people get incensed.
Okay, so now imagine for a moment if these four gunmen went and started using human shields to avoid getting detained. What do you think the Russian army would have done?
Yeah, no, it would be...
Done!
Yeah.
Done! They would have bombed the whole city if they had to.
Agree.
Okay, so... Yeah.
No, I'm not saying there's not a double standard. There clearly is.
Thank you. Agreed. Okay, also, we'll jump back to Israel for a second. There is a hostage deal that's being talked about where, I mean, I don't know who comes up with these things, but it seems Israel probably already agreed to these terms, that Israel would release 700 Palestinian criminals for 40 hostages.
But where do these criminals go? Who are they going to? Are they going to the West Bank? They're not going to Gaza. There's no one to take them.
No. They deport them out of Israel, but we know for a fact that many of them end up back and end up fighting again. It's a high rate of recidivism. You have Ulpan in Hebrew, and I'm going to give you lessons in English.
Apparently, yeah. I do need, because recidivism is not on my list of words.
It wasn't on your 2024 Kiddush Club bingo card.
Sorry.
It just means that, you know, like when a criminal goes back to his old ways, you know. So Hamas, basically, they let him go. They end up right back to the terrorism.
But don't they send them out of the country? Like, how are they getting back in? I feel like the landscape has changed. When Hamas was in power, I get it.
Well, they're still the West Bank. They don't have to go to Gaza. They could go to the West Bank.
And they would welcome them in, you're saying?
Yeah, they could go to the north. They could go to Lebanon. They could go join Hezbollah. They could do this.
Yeah, we're surrounded by enemies.
Correct.
And people don't seem to get that.
Right, and you're like, yeah, where are they going to go? Right. Enemy of Israel. He's got a man without a country. No, he's a man with every country.
Right.
He could go anywhere. And the UN, of course, blames Israel for a famine. They now say that it's 100% Israel's fault that there's a famine going on in Gaza because they're not doing enough to get food to the people. When in fact, Israel's doing an insane amount to try to get food to the people. And Hamas, as we've mentioned, keeps intercepting it.
The more you talk about this, the more I'm reminded of that episode where we did the cover of the UN with all the clowns.
Yes.
Because
yes.
this is exactly that.
Yes. Very good. You know your album art.
I know my Kiddush Club. Yeah.
You do. You really do. And jumping back to the United States, the other big news is Trump and his bond, the bond saga with Trump.
Yeah. But the bond came down.
Yes. So Trump had to, just to recap, Trump had to come up with a $464 million bond and he couldn't come up with it. And then they appealed that decision on the 454 and they won that appeal and it was reduced to $175 million, which is a lot easier to cover.
Yeah, a little bit more practical, $175 million.
And they also extended another 10 days. And this was big because it was supposed to be by Monday. If they didn't come up with the money, Letitia James said she was going to start
seizing assets.
Exactly. And so now this was really a lifeline for the Trump campaign.
But what I want to understand is, isn't bail there to prevent a flight risk?
Well, this is not bail. This is a fine.
Oh.
They want him to pay the fine, pay the judgment, and then appeal it.
So, right?
You know,
like
when you get a parking
gone.
Ticket? Yeah. Then you got to get it back. Like when you get a parking ticket, right? In New York, you get a parking ticket and you get found guilty. Now you want to appeal it. First, you have to pay the ticket, then you could appeal.
Right.
That's exactly what's happening here. The judge Poskins, and he said, you have to pay $464 million. Now, his attorneys are saying that's exorbitant and doesn't make any sense. We're going to appeal it. The court says, okay.
Pay first.
Pay, and then you can appeal it.
Right.
And if you win, you get back your money, no problem. But you have to come up with that money. And we talked about in the last episode, we were surprised, you know, he has so many properties. But it turns out that a lot of that money needs to be in cash. And that's why people didn't want to cover it for him, because it's not cash. And buildings, you know, the real estate market right now is not where people want it to be. It's a little bit volatile and depressed. And so he needed the cash and he couldn't come up with it. But hopefully he'll be able to come up with the $176 million or so.
And there's a very good chance that he loses that money.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason why people wouldn't want to lay it out for him.
Yeah, that's why he can't get it. But on the flip side, as you mentioned before the show, there is talk about Truth Social going public.
Mm.
And if that happens, there's a chance that, you know, Trump's ownership of Truth Social would be worth potentially over $1 billion.
Which is crazy. I don't see Truth Social as being that popular.
I don't see it being popular at all. Like, why would it be a successful?
Well, it is a haven for the far right.
Yeah, but aside from Trump, like, what's on Truth Social?
That's what I'm saying. Nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. Like, so have you ever gone to it?
No.
No, just to see.
No, I just see Trump's, like, I just see screenshots of Trump's
right.
words
on
Truth Social.
Right.
Right. So how's it worth a dollar?
I'm not convinced that he's going to, you know, cash out like the way people think. I'm not convinced he's going to make a, you know, a tremendous windfall from it. And we're going to digress for a second because we've been getting a lot of requests for the sports segment.
It's true.
And it's really difficult for us to keep doing the sports segment. But I do have a little update.
Go ahead.
So in my place of business, they do this thing during what's called March Madness. Does this mean anything to you?
I know the term. I just never cared enough to delve into it.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Like, I know there is March Madness.
It's I know there's like a March and yeah. there is some madness going on.
No, I know the term.
Okay, do you know anything about it, sports-wise?
It's football related.
Incorrect.
Really?
Basketball.
Huh.
Yeah, it's college basketball related.
Okay.
And so March Madness, I think it just means where everybody picks who's going to win. So there's a whole slew of games that are taking place at the end of March now, going into like the first 2 weeks of April. where all these colleges compete. They're all ranked and they all play against each other. And the winner goes on, you know, each winner of each division goes on to the semifinals, finals. I don't even know what it's called, actually. It might be called the
playoffs.
I don't know. And so in my place of business, they sent out an email that they're doing March Madness, and here's a website, you go to it, and the winner wins money. You know, the business is sponsoring the winner, with, just like we did with the Purim contest.
Okay.
So I said, hey, free money. I don't have to bet anything. I just have to pick. How hard could it be?
So you did a deep dive at that moment.
I did not. I couldn't get myself interested enough to do the deep dive.
Hmm.
So what I did do was, I'm using fantasy sports on yahoo.com. And, you know, you go to the thing, you put your name in, and then it shows you a whole bunch of schools, and you start picking winners in some of the games that are being played.
So guesswork, basically.
Guesswork. But you do see the rankings, right? So you see, like, this team is ranked number 2. This team is ranked number 14.
So a little bit of educated guesswork.
A little bit of educated guesswork. And so I didn't always just go with, like, the higher rank. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, I heard about this team before. I'm going to pick them. For example, I saw Duke, and I'm like, I don't know. That rings a bell. I'm picking Duke. In fact, I picked Duke to be the winner. I don't know if that means anything.
I don't either, but it just sounds legit.
Like, sounds legit,
right? Team, yeah.
Okay, so now after the first bunch of games have been played, I am happy to say that I am among the 6th ranked people.
Right. There's brackets. I feel like there's brackets in this thing.
Yes, yes. So, okay, I'm not number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, but I'm also not number 15. I'm number 6.
Okay, right. That's, in the middle.
Come on. I get credit.
Yes, some credit is due, for sure.
I'm going mad. I'm going mad in March. I have 43 points, bro. 43.
I hope you win. I really do hope you win. I fagin you. Like, I want you
Thank
to
you.
Be
Thank you.
Successful in whatever
Thank
this
you. Me
is.
Me too. Me too. Maybe if I win, I will then take that deep dive to understand what it is that I'm doing.
If it could be financially beneficial, you should totally do the deep dive.
Yeah. If I win, you have my word. I'll do a deep dive and we'll come back on the cast. We'll talk all about March Madness and the intricacies of it.
Yeah, you could educate me on all this madness.
Yeah, well, at least I knew it wasn't football.
Yeah, that's bad. I'm not going to disagree.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to limit once again our airplane stories. It's only going to be 1 to 2 stories per episode.
I think that's all there is this week.
there are two. So first of all, this one's not even a story, but the Boeing CEO is going to step down.
I mean,
it's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the ship is sinking, literally.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. Among all the things, and if you don't know why and you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to a bunch of our episodes. We talk a lot about it. But in other news, a major aviation expert, and this is coming from the UK, he issued a stern warning to passengers who fly that they shouldn't fly, well, women shouldn't fly, or men too, I guess, in leggings, right? Yoga pants, leggings, whatever they're called. And you know, even many frum Jews, you know, in skirts, women in skirts wear leggings because sometimes it gets chilly on a plane, you know? And so leggings are a nice way to stay warm.
Leggings, sweatshirt.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's warning that nobody should be wearing this on a plane because you never know what's going to happen. And it's possible that there's going to be a plane fire. And these are made out of artificial materials that are very flammable.
Polyester, usually.
Exactly. And you want to be in cotton.
Interesting. Just to slow down,
slow down the, burn.
The rate of consumption.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So this has been a public service announcement.
Is that a legitimate thing?
That's a thing. I don't know.
Because listen, if there is a fire on a plane, like Loyalenu, if there is, what are your odds? I don't think you should be worrying about the material that you're wearing. You have bigger problems.
It's like everybody's screaming and one guy's going, no, 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 we're okay. I'm all cotton. I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. And this is not a plane story, but it's related. Another cruise has had an issue. A Carnival cruise got hit with lightning and went on fire. How does that make you feel?
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Me too.
Right? Because lightning is attracted to height. And if you're at sea in the middle of the ocean, like, you are the tallest thing there.
That's right. So it reminded me. So believe it or not, I was actually on a ferry. Some years ago, a bunch of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I was commuting on a ferry and everything was nice. It was a nice day outside. And when all of a sudden, out of the blue, day turned to night. You know those types of days?
Oh, I love those types of
days. No. You love them, not when you're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, on terra firma. That's when I love them.
Yes, exactly. So I was on this boat, and now I look outside the window, and the entire boat is now quiet because everybody's nervous. Everybody on the boat got nervous, and it was silent, okay? I was shaking. I started texting people and saying, if you don't hear from me, you know, this is what happened, and I'm sending pictures of what I'm seeing outside.
This is like Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, it was. And we're going to include in the WhatsApp a picture that I took from the boat as the sunny day turned to night.
So you keep this on hand at all times. This happened a decade ago, and you've effortlessly pulled up this picture.
No, I actually went into the archives to find it. When I was preparing for that story, I said, you know, I got to find the picture. And thanks to Google Photos, it wasn't that hard. I did find it. And so here's the crazy part about the story. So come on, that's pretty scary looking.
Yeah, no, it's dark.
It's dark. Okay, so now it's quiet. And I'm shaking. I'm literally shaking. And now there's a woman sitting next to me, and she's also clearly visibly worried. And now I have a good poker face. So I was really afraid, but I looked totally chilled. Totally chilled. She was starting to lose it, okay? So she sees me and she assumes that I have it together, so I'm going to be her support. Not good. I'm not the one to turn
You're
to.
You're not the emotional support animal.
No. So she turns to me. She goes, it's really dark out there. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sure it's fine. She says, but what do you think happens if a boat gets hit by lightning?
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. And at that point, I was just like, stop talking to me. I couldn't deal with it.
What did you say?
And I had to keep on. So I had to be careful. But I that's what I said. I was like, no, we're not going there. I'm not having this conversation. We can't do it. Yeah, I was going to have a full-blown panic attack. I wasn't having it.
Okay? I believe every word of this story.
This is all true. Okay. And just so you know, within a few minutes, it was a storm like I've never seen. And the boat is still going, you know, and the swells, the ocean. And the boat had to stop. All of a sudden, it's quiet. The engines stop.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wait, is there a comforting voice coming over the PA?
So the captain comes onto the loudspeaker and says, attention, ladies and gentlemen, where the visual outside has dropped below something, and we can't see 1 foot in front of us. He didn't say that, but it was something. That's how I interpreted it.
No, but what did he... Did he make you feel comfortable?
No. I mean,
did you hear panic in his voice? Because no. I would bug out.
Yeah, no. He was totally not panicked. Uh-huh. He totally came on. He's like, yeah, it's no big deal. You know, we'll be going in 30 seconds or to a minute.
Don't worry, bros.
Yeah, he was totally fine.
Right.
But in the meantime, we're now bopping up and down in the ocean with no engines, and I'm literally about to cry. Yeah. Yeah. That's. And if you'd like to see that picture, join our WhatsApp group. Go to kidsclub.com. Click on join WhatsApp group and you'll be able to see the picture that I took.
And just be clear, it's not going to be a picture of him crying. It was just going to be a picture of a storm.
Yes. But I wasn't the only one taking, everyone was taking pictures because it happened in so quickly.
Also, they want proof of what happened to them.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, 100%. We all thought we weren't making it. I'll be honest with you.
Was there lightning?
Yes.
Did you get hit?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. I should have mentioned, that's what prompted her. So it wasn't raining. But now, remember, when you're in an ocean, like you mentioned before, there's no land, right? You don't see anything. It's just water in every direction. Now you start seeing lightning, and you see the lightning hitting the water. And you're like, well, how come it's going over there and not on here?
Right. It's going to be attracted to whatever's highest.
Exactly. So I thought for sure we're getting hit. And I'm frantically Googling, you know, what happens if a boat gets hit by lightning. But of course... there was no service.
Middle of the ocean.
Yeah. So I narrowly avoided that fate, but the Carnival cruise ship, unfortunately, did not avoid it, but everybody was safe. That's a good thing. Has a happy ending. In other major world news, the conspiracy theorists were let down this week because there was, I'm sure you know, massive conspiracy theories about what happened to Princess Kate Middleton.
Yeah, she kind of fell off the map.
Fell off the map, and then they released a picture of her, and it turned out it was Photoshopped. And so there was a lot of speculation. Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with some form of cancer, which is very sad.
And we don't even know which type, because they're just hush-hush about it.
Yes, yes. But we would wish her for Shalema, and hopefully she recovers from that.
But I know, but now it's her and the king.
Yes.
It's almost like it was the queen's zchus that was like saving them.
Yeah, but how does that make sense, though?
I don't know. She was a monarch for like what?
150 years.
No, not that long.
It felt like that, right?
It did feel like she went through like a dozen presidents.
Yeah.
Right? It was a very long, maybe 80 years?
Could be.
75 years? Something. You have to have zchus to be a monarch for 75 years.
So you're saying once she died, that zchus that was enveloping the royal family went away.
I mean, this is just guesswork, right? Nobody could say anything, but like, it does feel like once she's gone, like things are kind of falling apart.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Well, we wish the best for the king and the princess.
Absolutely.
Is she a princess? Is that that's what she is, right? Princess Kate? Princess, yeah, Princess Kate. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Also, we forgot to mention, by the way, and this happened already some time ago, but our good friend Elon was let go from his position.
I know. And I don't, like, I can't even justify it.
No. I think it's a huge mistake. Huge. And it was because of, he tweeted something and the UK Prime Minister got very upset about it. And they complained to Israel. And so I don't think that's what did it. We did cover on this cast that Bibi's wife wanted Elon to be fired. And I think they just needed a reason and they got the reason and they let him go.
Right. I think that's what happened. But he's still doing what he's doing. And now he has his own podcast and he's continuing to battle the misinformation that surrounds Israel.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it might be time to bring him back and get a reaction from him.
I would love
that. What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's digress for a moment, shall we? Once again?
Please.
Well, here's a different story. This is about kibbudim, which is honoring your mother, honoring your parents, right? One of the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
A universal principle. This man took it to the next level.
Let me hear it.
So it seems that in India, part of their, some of the religion in India, I guess Hinduism, there's a Lord Rama. Okay. Just stay with me here.
I'm trying to follow.
And so Lord Rama, I guess in some writings, says that if a person were to even take their own skin and make sandals for their mother out of their own skin, that even that is not doing enough to honor your mother. So this guy says, I hear. And so he took his own skin and made sandals for his mother.
Come on.
No, I kid you not.
Tell me it was like some type of cellular regeneration.
Nope. He underwent a surgery to remove skin from his thigh. He gave his skin to a cobbler and he made it into sandals.
I want to know if the medical professionals do take a Hippocratic oath.
In India.
Because how, like, right. Yeah, how could you justify this?
Like, what went on? Like, he gets to the doctor's office.
Right.
Then he says,
I want to remove all the skin from my thigh.
And the doctor's like, okay, were you burned? Why?
No, it is because I am the very best son. I have to make slippers for my mother.
And, I mean, we're not going to include a picture of the slippers. We'll include a picture of, they did some sort of celebration for what he did. And there's a picture of him and his mom. We'll include that on WhatsApp. And in the picture, I mean, it's not much to see, but you see they threw some flowers on them. In the photo of him and his mother, you see he's actually crying.
Yeah, because his leg hurts.
Yeah.
Because he's got no skin there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
What's his mother's reaction at that point, by the way?
You shouldn't have. Like, what else do you say?
No, like, what happens now? You know what the worst part is? Like, let's say they're really uncomfortable. Now, imagine he goes to his mother's house, and he sees she's not wearing them. Right? Right?
Right.
And he's like, Mom, how could you not be wearing my slippers?
I expect you never to take them off.
And then she's like,
but they don't match this outfit.
Well, skin tone really kind of... Okay, no, forget it. We're not going there. We're not going there. Okay. Also in India, so this is a thing that we apparently didn't know. A YouTuber, a famous YouTuber in India, was arrested because he was supplying snake venom as a party drug.
Well, how does that work?
I have no idea. You are our resident expert in these things. Snake venom. And in case you don't know what that is, in the article, it shows a big picture of a snake.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear.
Right, in case you didn't know what snake venom was.
Does it say anything about the reason that they're using the snake venom?
No, it says, I mean, I'll read to you. It says, use of snake venom can often be seen at rave parties. And a study noted 13 cases of snake venom being used as a recreational substance in India. Apparently, it's an Indian thing.
Well, it's obviously not so widespread if there's only 13 instances of it being used.
Well, I think that's because it's not available in abundance, right? You probably have to be rich to be able to get it.
Yeah, I wonder how much it costs.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quite expensive. And a little over a week ago, in Mexico City, hundreds of people took a mass nap to commemorate World Sleep Day.
Okay, my kind of story.
Right?
Yes.
And they basically put down mats, you know, right there in Mexico City. And for a period of time of the day, they took a nap, a joint nap, everybody outside.
I mean, you'd have to have a lot, like a real quiet situation. Like napping outside.
What? I've seen you fall asleep standing up on a subway. What are you talking about? You literally could fall asleep anywhere at any time. What are you saying?
True, but if I'm laying down, like it's a
different... Oh, it's harder than standing?
I feel like I would need more quiet. Like if this kid's playing basketball outside during my Shabbos nap, ruined. It is ruined.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. But at the same time, if you, I mean, look, you see these people have their eyes covered and, you know, you're on a comfortable mat and, you know, you don't have anywhere to go. You know, everybody's going to sleep. I could see myself dozing off.
Yes, me too. Me too, as long as I have the earplugs.
Yes.
Yes?
Agreed. But my question is, am I crazy or is this like the biggest target for pickpockets ever made? Right?
Because he has, no, but it looks like it's orderly. Like you can't. It's not a public area. I mean, it is a public area.
It's a total public area.
Yes, but I feel like you, like it looks very orderly.
No, 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 no. Let me tell you something. You see sleeping people. I see oportunidad. Entiende?
How do we find out if anybody was pickpocketed?
You'll never know.
We'll never know, right? Okay, fine. And to end this one on a high. So the World Happiness Report is out. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, we cover this every year.
Well, we may have new listeners.
Okay. No, it's a new
year.
Go
with me here.
Different year. Yeah,
different year.
Different happiness report.
Exactly. So the World Happiness Report is out, and this ranks the happiest countries in the world. And surprise, surprise, for the 7th year in a row, number one was?
I don't know. I feel like it's like a Nordic country.
Correct. It was Finland. Ah. Finland, once again, happiest country. But you're right. The Scandinavians basically took the whole, you know, top five.
And I actually noticed that the United States is off that list.
Well, it's not off. It dropped considerably. It's not even in the top 20 anymore.
Well, that's the list. It's
yeah,
the top 20 happiest countries.
Right? But here's the interesting thing. So let's quickly go through it, right? So Finland was number one. Denmark, another Scandinavian country, number two. Iceland, number three. Sweden, number four. And number five was Israel.
Really?
Yes.
I can't believe we're that far up there. And we're in a war.
Yeah. So that means, like, with the deadliest war against Jews since the Holocaust, Israel still comes out number five and America comes out 23.
So either that just goes to show you what's happening in the world, right? Just the happiness levels have nothing to do with what's going on outside, but really what's going on inside.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's deep.
I figured I'd bring some deep.
but let me ask you this. Why is Finland number one every year? What's going on in Finland?
You know what I think it is? Maybe it's the Surströmming. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It could be that.
It could be the Surströmming.
Or maybe it's because that stuff is so bad, just not eating it
makes
keeps you
happy.
Exactly.
That's what Russia should have done with the terrorists, by the way. They should have fed them Surströmming and they would have confessed everything. And by the way, Palestine made the list.
Really?
Yes. Palestine.
What number?
103.
Like, who's below them? That's what I want to know.
I think it's just Afghanistan at that point.
Right. I think Hamas must have been happy with 103.
Really?
Well, yeah, they don't want happy people.
Right? That's kind of true, right?
Ahmed, are you smiling? Something funny here? Get back inside your tunnel.
They don't see sunlight.
Yeah.
That could be the thing.
That could be part of it. Yeah. I agree. Well, we thank everybody for participating in this year's costume contest. We hope to bring it back in the future as well. And of course, congratulations to our winners.
And we thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to join the WhatsApp group. You can do that either from the show notes or visit us at KiddishClubPodcast.com. Follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to support the cast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/Kiddish Club. Show your support for the cast. And until next time, Kiddish Club out.
And this episode is copyright Kiddish Club Media.